talking University of Miami baseball, former Hurricanes shortstop, my broadcast partner on ACC Network Extra, Huicho Hernandez, with us. Huicho, good evening. How are you?
Joe, how you doing, buddy? I'm doing well.
All is good. We got a big weekend series coming up here with the Clemson Tigers coming up. Before we get into Clemson, your thought, Miami coming off a nice win last night against FIU, lost 2 out of 3 to Notre Dame, but did take 2 out of 3 from Carolina and Virginia. Your thoughts on where the club is right now?
You know, I think the club's had some really nice surprises this year. You mentioned the 2 out of 3 against UNC and Virginia. You know, anytime you get to win a series in the ACC, you know, that's definitely a plus. You know, even last week when they went up to Notre Dame, lost 2 of 3 there, you know, a team that a lot of people were down on. That Notre Dame team is not as bad as their record was going into that weekend. And it's never easy, you know, to go up to South Bend and play, especially early in the season where the weather might become an issue. I think the big question, you know, that people are probably wondering is some of the struggles they've had in the midweek games. Early in the year, they had a couple games that, you know, one would expect them to win. I think that's kind of been the little bit of the issue with the team. I mean, if it wasn't for that, they'd probably be sitting somewhere around 16-8. I wouldn't be surprised if they were in the top 20 if that was the case. But because of those losses, they're outside the top 20, and they're just at 14-10, which puts a lot of pressure on these weekends coming up. I mean, they got, if you haven't looked at their schedule, the next 3 weekends, it's as tough as it gets for any college baseball team.
Well, it starts on Thursday. This week it's Thursday, Friday, and Saturday because of Easter. Clemson's number 2 in the country. So this is a great opportunity for fans to see a top program and for the University of Miami to maybe make a statement. This is a hell of a team coming in here. Clemson 22-5, 5-1 in the ACC, ranked number 2 in the country. So this is about as good as it gets.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, if you're a college baseball fan and you're looking for something to do this weekend, this should be at the top of your list. That team that's coming in is as you mentioned, depending on what poll you look at, a top 5 team, as high as number 1 in some polls. Their RPI puts them at number 1. This is a very, very well coached team, a very balanced team. So this is going to be Miami's toughest test this year. But the flip side of it, again, you go back to Miami and the strength of that team. It still continues being those top 3 starters. You know, you got a good starter on Friday night. In this case, it'll be Thursday night. And then they follow that with 2 good lefties to close out the weekend series. So Miami has, again, they've surprised at home in the ACC 2 ranked opponents. I don't think Clemson's going to take them lightly when they come in. But I'm curious to see what Miami does this week. And it's a good opportunity for them to show, you know, the fans and show the people around the country just what they can expect out of this Hurricane team for the rest of this year. Because you're at the point in the season where you have a pretty good indication of what kind of team you have at this point.
Yeah, Clemson's won 7 in a row. They're going to go with Matt Marchell. He's 4-0. Ethan Darden, he's 4-0. And then Adam Knask, Adam Knack, a freshman, just 1-0. So, but they're scoring runs. They've won 7 straight games. They get on base. It's going to be a fun series for Miami.
Yeah, it's going to be a fun series. And you mentioned the records for that starting rotation. When your team's 22-2, you're not going to have a lot of guys with losses on that rotation.
Yeah.
But you mentioned it. They're doing everything right. I mean, they're playing really good baseball. They're getting great pitching, and they're getting great defense, and they're scoring a lot of runs. I mean, last weekend they had a weekend series against Florida State. Florida State had come into that weekend, you know, off to an incredible start. A lot of people talking about them being, you know, top 10 team, and they went, you know, they played Florida State 3 games, and they won 15-5, 9-8, and 14-12. And that's a pretty good Florida State team as well.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting to me that they come in number 2, and there was a time, and people, we kind of go backwards with University of Miami sports, whether it's football or baseball. So if we went backwards, a team like this would come in to the light, ranked 2nd in the country, and they would just be coming into a hornet's nest. They'd be coming into a real potboiler. But things have changed. And as you, perhaps when you played for Coach Frazier and Coach Morris, a team like this would come in, it would be an ambush. But things are different now. How much has college baseball changed as you've watched it over the last 20 years?
Well, I think the first thing that comes to mind, Joe, and that's a great question, is parity. I think that you go back to my era, and even after I played, maybe the next decade or so, there was you had the real dominant teams, and then you had everyone else. And Miami, of course, being one of those dominant teams of that era. I think now, and we've talked, you and I have talked about this during our broadcast. You look at some of the emergence of even the state schools. You know, we talked about UCF, who back in my era wasn't a team you thought about a lot. Now they're becoming a national power. You talk about, you know, FAU just up the road up in Boca. They've had, you know, some success over the last decade or so. So college baseball, you know, the parity in college baseball is kind of leveled the playing field a little bit. However, now go back to, you mentioned, you know, Clemson's coming in. It's the hornet's nest. I think when you get these big weekends and you get a Clemson coming into town, and I know it's spring break for a lot of families, you know, I'm hopeful it is a hornet's nest, and they come in and they run into, you know, orange and green and a strong crowd supporting, you know, the Hurricanes. But college baseball is not what it used to be maybe 20 years ago. And I'm not saying it in a bad way. It's actually great. I think it's in a strong place right now. And then the last piece of college baseball is, you know, we hear it in football. We don't hear it as much in baseball, but you're hearing it now is NIL. NIL has leaked into the baseball game, and I think that will continue impacting what happens, you know, with college baseball as well.
You know, I listen to what you say. I think you make really good points, and it's funny because Coach Frazier, Coach Morris, in particular Coach Frazier, fought so hard for college baseball, and college baseball probably is advanced to a spot now where Coach Frazier maybe dreamed of where it would be, but it's also been, to a certain extent, to the detriment of places like Miami or Southern Cal or Arizona State, those schools that dominated in those eras. Because now, like you said, if you're a baseball player, you don't necessarily need to go to USC or Miami or Arizona State. You can go to Florida Gulf Coast or FAU or Cal State or whatever it might be on the West Coast, because every game's televised. Stadiums are much better today than they were 10, 15, 20 years ago. And if you're a prospect, somebody's going to find you. There are no secrets out there anymore.
Yeah, and that's a great point, Joe, because you look at it, and one of the – I mean, I remember when I got recruited, and one of the pitches were, hey, you're going to play on TV, you know, 12 to 15 times a year. And that was pretty cool. Now every game for Miami's on TV, and most programs around the country can say the same thing. It's just the coverage of the sport has taken off. The other part of it is you look at whether, you know, regardless of what brand you want to follow, and I don't need to get into the names of the brands, all these brands are supporting these schools like never before. I mean, the swag bags these kids get now, yeah. I mean, it's incredible. And it's not just the big schools. It's across the board. I mean, you look around, and they're all getting their swag bags. They're all, you know, getting some pretty cool gear. That didn't happen 20 years ago. That didn't happen 30 years ago. And you're right. I think you go back to where this all started. And I think Coach Frazier is one of the pioneers of that movement.
What do you think so far of let's take a look a little bit more at University of Miami. We'll start with Cuvée at third. He has been a real eye-opener as a freshman, very polished player and person.
Yeah, I mean, I've had a chance to interact with him on a couple occasions. I could probably spend the next hour for you talking about him and how impressed I am with this young man. I mean, he's just been as advertised on the field. He's absolutely a stud. But when you get to talk to him off the field and you realize what an incredible young man this guy is, it makes it even that much more impressive. And what I tell people when they ask me about this team, you know, again, I think the team's great. I do think this is a team that could surprise some people down the stretch. But I also think, like, you're looking at a big leaguer. I think Daniel Cuvée will be a big leaguer. I think Blake Sear has potential to be a big leaguer. You go down this roster and you got some guys that you get a chance to see them as 18, 19, 20, 21-year-olds in your backyard. And I think Cuvée is one of those guys. I mean, it you know, something would have to go drastically wrong, I think, over the next few years for him not to be an early round pick his junior year. And again, I'd expect to see him play at the highest level.
The three starters are pretty good, pretty solid for the most part. But when the University of Miami has to go to their bullpen early or use their bullpen a lot during a series, it gets to be a bit dicey. How does JD and Laz Gutierrez coach around that for the remainder of the year? It's a long season, and probably don't have every spot where they want it to be because of some other reasons. So how do they try to coach around it?
Yeah, I think it's a couple things. You said it's a long season, and that's the first thing. You got to recognize as a coach, this is a long season, and you're not playing for this weekend or last weekend or even the next weekend. You're playing to make sure you're peaking somewhere towards the end of April and carry that into the postseason. So that's the first thing you got to keep in mind while still having to win baseball games down the stretch. When you look at the first approach is going to be, you mentioned those three starters, whether it's Gage, the day one starter, Rafe, or Hendrick, you're seeing it already. They're getting a lot more rope to go a little deeper in games than maybe you've been seeing out of this Hurricane coaching staff over the last few years. So part of that is because they're good, but the other part of it is you don't want to go into the bullpen too soon because you don't have a lot of depth there and you just have a lot of unproven players. It doesn't mean they're bad. It just means they haven't proven themselves yet. So as a coach, the first thing you're going to do is you're going to go a little longer in games with those three starters. The danger of that is, as I mentioned, it's a long season. You don't want to go too long and get to the point where these kids, are burnt out, by the end of April. So it's a fine balance between the two of those things. The next part is, you're seeing it, and I've seen it with Brian Walters. I love the way they're bringing him back into the game. I mean, we talked about his talent. This is a guy that throws mid-90s. He's got a great breaking pitch. He's a guy that will definitely end up, I think if he doesn't end up as a closer this year, it's because Nick Roberts does a great job. But he's a guy with incredible talent. And if you notice, every time they bring him out, it's like an inning here. But it almost feels like he's on a pitch clock. And it doesn't matter where they're at in that inning. When that pitch clock hits, and I'm not talking about the pitch clock, I'm talking about the pitch count. When that pitch count hits, they're going to bring him back out. And they're kind of babying him in there, back into the mix of things. And the idea there is that, hey, we don't need him to be perfect right now. We just need him late April, going into May, and hopefully June. So I think once he's full strength, he's going to be a huge addition to that bullpen. Right now, they don't have him full strength. And then you need someone needs to step up. I mean, right now you look at that bullpen and you got to like what you're seeing out of Nick Robert. I mentioned Brian Walters. Cinta's done a good job when he's been called upon. But then after that, you got a lot of guys that sometimes they have good outings and sometimes they have, real bad outings. And there's got to be some more consistency out of that bullpen if the Hurricanes, want any chance of really getting into the ACC, making some headwind in the ACC tournament and hopefully getting into the postseason play as well.
So the other position that I think is really tough for them right now, and you picked up on this, you're playing a lot with a freshman shortstop. Now, people can say, well, you got a freshman at third base. But a freshman shortstop, there's a big difference if you ask me. Such an important position, such a demanding position. You got a kid, Urso, who's a senior, has played a lot of baseball, but your future is Jimenez, and he has had some inconsistencies with the glove. So they, I think, really have nerves of steel. You're trotting a freshman shortstop out there.
Yeah, and so you mentioned both Jimenez and Urso. They have 9 errors between the two of them. So you look at the Hurricanes have only played 24 games, and you're looking at more than a third of the games you've had an error out of the shortstop position. That's just way too much. And again, remember the conversation we just had about pitching. When you don't have the strongest bullpen, the last thing you want is to put more pressure on that pitching staff. And this Hurricane team up the middle has to be strong. And they got a real solid second baseman in Dorian Gonzalez Jr. He still hasn't made an error. He's been perfect on the season at second base. But they have to get better play out of the shortstop position, whether it's Jimenez or Urso, because it just puts that much more pressure especially the bullpen. And not only the bullpen, I mentioned the starters and pitch counts. Guess what happens when you make an error? You just added an extra 5, 6, 7 pitches to your starter, which means now he doesn't go as deep in game. So everything feeds off of you got to play solid defense, to let those pitchers go deep in the game and give yourself a chance and also just take some pressure off that bullpen.
By the way, how about these rankings in college baseball? Okay, 6 of the top 10 are from the SEC, with Arkansas ranked number 1. But then if you expand it a little bit and go to the top 15, it's, I want to say 11 of the top 15 are either SEC or ACC.
Yeah, I mean, right now the college baseball, it's ACC or SEC, and depending on what conference you're in, you're going to say one is the best over the other. It's dominating, you know, the rankings. I mean, you got teams. I mean, take Florida for example. You know, Florida's 14-10, and if you look at Division I baseball poll, they're sixth in the country with a 14-10 record. They're also sixth in the country with a 14-10 record in the coaches poll. It speaks to the strength of the conferences. Whether you agree with that or not, that's what's happening. I mean, you know, up and down the rankings, it looks like everyone in the ACC or everyone in the SEC is there. So it's going to be fun to see, you know, who comes out of these conferences. I mean, they're both stacked. But it seems like that's the case every year.
Well, we'll wrap it up with this. So a little bit of a left field question, but you've got a great eye. Your thumb is on the pulse of baseball in this town at every level. How good is the high school baseball today in South Florida?
Yeah, it still remains, you know, when you say South Florida, it still remains one of the top hotbeds for college baseball and professional baseball in the country. You talk to anyone and they'll tell you this is where the best baseball players are at. They come down here to scout this area heavily, you know, whether it's Dade County, Broward County, even Palm Beach County. I was looking at some high school rankings earlier today. Stone and Douglas is, you know, in the top five or top 10 around the country. I mean, there's so much that happens down here. And I think that's why some of these other Florida programs have become so much better, because they realize we just got to recruit in our state, and recruit in our state, we'll have enough players to go around. But if you're looking for baseball players, you know, spend some time in Florida, especially South Florida, you're going to find a bunch of them.
Wicho Hernandez, former Hurricane great, our guest. When are you going to run for mayor? Can I be your campaign manager?
Joe, you can be anything you want to be with me, buddy. You know, I'll have you next to me at any journey I go on, but don't count on me to run for mayor anytime soon.
You're the smartest guy in Dade County.
I appreciate those comments.
All right. Well, I didn't mean just Dade County, but, you know, Dade and Broward, but you live in Dade, so.
Joe, you're the best, right, man. Thank you for everything you do for the Canes, man. It's always a pleasure listening to you, and anytime I get a chance to get on your show, it's a highlight of my day, so thank you.
All right. I'll see you this weekend. We'll have a lot of fun for Miami and Clemson.
You got it. Be well, bud.
All right. That's Wicho Hernandez. Miami and Clemson tomorrow night, 7 o'clock. Friday night, 7 o'clock. Saturday afternoon, 1 o'clock. Thursday, Friday, and Saturday because of the Easter holiday. So three big games for the Hurricanes this weekend at the Light. Thursday, Friday, Saturday, number 2 ranked Clemson. So hope to see you there. Hope to see a big crowd for Miami and Clemson.